This morning we want to look at, or continue to look at the book of 1 Thessalonians. Last week we kind of did an overview from 1 Thessalonians, the first three chapters. We're going to back up a little bit this morning and we're going to look at chapter 1 in 1 Thessalonians. So if you want to take your Bibles there and flip back there, we'll find ourselves in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles, we got it up on the screen as we traditionally do. But we'll just simply read from chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. How are you doing walking backwards this past week? Remember, we talked about walking backwards in order to move forwards last week. Is that our eyes, our mindset, our focus should be on what Christ has accomplished. Only when we're focused on what Christ has accomplished and our identity in him can we successfully move forward without being distracted, without losing our place. This week, we look at loved by God, therefore chosen by God. You are loved by God, therefore you are chosen by God. Question: how does your spouse know that you love them? How does your spouse know that you love them? How do your children know that you love them? How do they know that? How do your friends know that you love them? Think about those three things. How does your spouse know that you love them? How does your children know that you love them? And how do your friends know that you love them? Get that in your mind. Lastly, then, how does Jesus know that you love him? Four questions. When each of my daughters were born, a magical thing happened. I took them in my arms and immediately found that I loved them. I didn't have to think about it, nor weigh my options, or wait for them to coo, cry, or say my name. My love was unconditional. Just as any mother and father's love is unconditional. We choose to love unconditionally, therefore, because we love, we choose. Therefore, we accept. We choose to love unconditionally, therefore, because we love, we choose, we accept. When you love somebody and or something, you choose. Plain and simple. When you choose someone or something, they become the chosen. Seems kind of elementary, right? When I loved Lynette, she became the chosen, and vice versa. So the question is, how do you feel when you are the chosen? How do you feel when you're loved? The loved are always chosen. Curious, is there a responsibility when you are chosen? Think about that. Is there a responsibility when you are chosen? Is there to be an expected response? Here's an experiment. If you were to turn to somebody next to you, or maybe later on, or at home, or in the restaurant, what happens when you say, "I love you"? Everyone's looking around, well, I don't know that person. What happens when you say, "I love you"? Maybe to your spouse, to your son, to your daughter, to your friend, to a stranger. Is there a response? What's the response? Is an expected response? What if a response doesn't come? Are you mad? Are you upset? Are you relieved? Are you curious as to why or why not? Well, Lynette and I play a little game, or I play a little game with Lynette. When I have not been particularly dutiful in expressing my feelings for her, she'll corner me, usually restrain me in some way, look me in the eyes, and she says, "I love you." Right? Yep. I usually smile, I laugh at her with my eyes, and I say nothing. And that's exactly what happens. We laugh, and then she tells me to put some effort into it as she forces me to give her a hug. True story. Does Lynette have an expectation? Absolutely. Do I know she has an expectation? Absolutely. Am I going to give it to her? Absolutely not. She is trying to cajole my love, but the message has been sent. I want you to choose me again, because you love me. She wants me to choose her. To choose her again because I love her. How many of us want to be chosen again? Sure. How many of us have been chosen again and again and again? What does it mean for God to love? It means God chooses. For God to love, it means God chooses. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loved the world, so God chose the world. He willingly chose or chooses to delight in that which he made, man and woman. How does the world respond to his love, to God's delight? To believe or not to believe in him. In his willed love, in his delight, in his choice of us. That's what Jesus represents. God the Father's willed love and choice. His favor toward us. I'll say that again. Jesus represents God, the Father's will, willed love and choice his favor toward us. God's disposition and will is for all to be saved and to come to the saving knowledge of the truth and that no person be lost. We agree on that? That's scriptural. It comes right from scripture. God implores us to pray for kings and queens, presidents and prime ministers, lawyers and politicians, for each other, because it is good and it pleases God. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Very plainly, we are the chosen, the eklektoi, whom the grace of God called, the eklektoi, the called ones. I don't expect you to remember that. But remember this, no one can be a chosen one unless he or she is first a called one. No one can be a chosen one unless he or she is first called one. Have you been called? I hope your answer is yes. Because we've been called by the love of Jesus, and therefore you have been chosen by the love of God. We have been called by the love of Jesus, and therefore we have been chosen by the love of God. Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 11:28, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Who does not labor? Who of us has not been heavy laden at some point in our lives? Do we need rest? Indeed. We all do. Then the simple call is, come to Christ. I need to answer yes to his call, but few are chosen because few answer his call. Few are chosen because few answer his call. How did the world respond to being the chosen of God? Disbelief and to love darkness. John 3:18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. John 3:19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. So how do I respond to being the chosen? Do I have a responsibility? Unlike the other Gentiles around them and the Jewish population, the Thessalonian God-fearers chose to work out their faith, labor in love, and hold steadfast in hope amongst affliction and persecution, verse 3 and verse 6. By their love, they chose to become imitators of Paul and Barnabas, Timothy, and the Lord Jesus, verse 6. They received the gospel in affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, verse 6. They turned from their false idol worship and false gods in the face of persecution to embrace the truth of Jesus Christ, verse 9. They believed and followed the men set before them as examples of the called and chosen, the eklektoi and the eklektoi. How have I responded to God's love, calling, and choice of me to be his? Do I work out my faith as the Apostle Paul and the Apostle James have called Christ's followers to do? Philippians 2:12-13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What Paul means is our lives should reflect our reality. We've been called by God, chosen because we are loved by God, and now we need to reflect that love and chosenness in our actions, in our words, and in our thoughts. Our calling is to represent God, his way, and his love. Does my life reflect reality? Salvation is not just a one-time decision for Paul. It is a life decision, a way of living decision. The Apostle James says something similar in a similar vein. James 2:18. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." The reality of a person's love, the reality of a person's belief is revealed in their works. What is my reality of faith? Am I responding to God's call upon my life appropriately? Does my love for God match my chosenness? Does my labor match his love? Do I respond in labor to his love? In affliction, the Thessalonians responded with labor of love. They worked for the advancement of the gospel message they had been given and imitated those who had given it to them. Does my labor match Christ's love? The chosen are called to advance Christ's love. We, the chosen, are called to advance Christ's love by the power of the Holy Spirit who enables us to do so. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and read about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So we have one Spirit that gives to the body as necessary. For what? For me to say that I have a gift? For me to tout that I have a gift? No, for me to serve the Lord Jesus and the gospel, I am powered by the Holy Spirit with gifting. How have you been gifted? How have you been empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the gospel? To further the gospel of Jesus? To show the love of Christ? Thing about this is Paul eventually says, no one is without excuse. No one is without excuse. All have been loved by God, and therefore, as a result, all have been chosen by God. But how have we responded? Belief or disbelief? Love and work or hate and condemnation? The world chooses to blame God for the condition we are in, but who really is to blame? Who has chosen not to believe and have life? Who has chosen to suppress the truth? The world, because the world has chosen to love darkness instead of God. The world refuses to turn from idols and false gods like the Thessalonian God-fearers turned from idols and false gods. What's this all concerning? The teaching of election. It's not false. It is sufficient, it holds, it stands up. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." All are loved by God, therefore all have been chosen by God, but not all choose to respond to his love, to his call, to his choosing. God knows who will respond, but that does not mean he does not give an opportunity to all to respond. He desires that all would come to him and that none would be lost. But there are those that choose not. Does that mean election is not true? No. Because the opportunity to respond has been given. God has loved the whole world, all of his creation. And as a result, he has chosen all. But not all have chosen to follow, to believe. As a God-fearer, we have the responsibility to conform to our new nature in Christ. We have a responsibility. 2 Peter 1:10 says, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." What are the qualities that Peter talks about? He says this, "Supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." If we practice these things, you will never fall and confirm your calling and your election. Well, where's this whole idea of election come from? It comes from this verse plainly. "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you." For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Loved by God, therefore chosen by God. His love, his calling, his choosing has responsibility. A true God-fearer responds to God's love, grace, and mercy with love in return. Love in labor, love in service, love in hope, empowered by and through the Holy Spirit. We have been loved, chosen, and called. How do we choose to respond? The doctrine of election is the understanding that the benevolent purpose of God, individuals are loved by God and thus chosen by God to belong to him. And God said what? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." He loved the world. He wanted us to choose him because he loved us and chose us. But if we don't choose him, we are lost. He's given the offer to all. He desires that none perish. This is the message that is given to the Thessalonians. This is a message that they receive. This is the message that they believe, and they minister in affliction, in persecution. They leave their idols and their gods behind, and they start ministering in a culture, a foreign culture, that is hostile to them. But they do not refuse to not share the gospel. They work. Because they know that they have assurance, they are in God's hand, and that heaven is their destination. They are loved by God, they are chosen by God, therefore they are God's. What can shake that? Sermon in a sentence. I am loved by God. There have been chosen by God, and I have a responsibility to God. The Thessalonians knew. They received the gospel. They worked the gospel because they knew they had responsibility to the gospel. Deuteronomy 7:6 to 7:13. You may say, how does this apply? This is the same blessing, the same assurance of election that God gave to Israel, that God gives to his church today. We have been bound in. We have been intertwined with Israel to be all of God's people. Deuteronomy 7:6-13. Do this because you are a people set apart as holy to God, your God. God, your God, chose you out of all the people of the earth for himself as a cherished personal treasure. God wasn't attracted to you and didn't choose you because you were big and important. The fact is, there was almost nothing to you. He did it out of sheer love, keeping the promise he made to your ancestors. God stepped in and mightily brought you back out of the world of slavery, freed you from the iron grip of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Who's your Pharaoh? In whose iron grip are we? Know this, God, your God, is God indeed, a God you can depend on. He keeps his covenant of loyal love with those who love him and observe his commandments for 1,000 generations. And this is what will happen. When you, on your part, will obey these directives, keeping and following them, God on his part will keep the covenant of loyal love that he made with your ancestors. He will love you. He will bless you. He will increase you. He will bless the babies from your womb and the harvest of grain, new wine, and oil from your fields. He'll bless the calves from your herds and lambs from your flocks in the country he promised your ancestors that he'd give you. Our Lord God is the same today as yesterday as he will be tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Amen.